We're back.
It's starting.
It's here. Everybody, welcome to Another Look with Will and Corey. I'm Will.
I'm Corey.
And Corey, this is a really special episode.
The finale of season two.
Yeah, so it's the end of season two.
7 months later.
Yeah, it's
that's
like...
That's how this starts. 7 months.
You know how some television shows, they would like come back after a while? You know, they would have like the mid-season finale and then they'd come back later. It's like that. Yeah. Except you're only getting one episode and then we're immediately starting season three.
Yep.
But... Another thing is super exciting because we have a guest in the studio today. Ladies and gentlemen, Robin. Robin, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Robin.
Hi, Robin.
For those not in the know, Robin is my lovely partner. And we are here to discuss her pick for a film that deserves another look, deserves reconsideration, deserves more eyes on it, just deserves more watches, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's what we do here at Another Look in many ways. But Robin, they already know what the movie is because they can read Spotify titles.
A couple people, one person, I'm holding out for that one person.
Who just goes,
who has since learned how to cover however they... are accessing it.
Yep.
You know?
Like with their hand. Like
yeah,
you
so they
work.
Don't know what.
Or maybe they have
about.
Someone else start it for them.
Yeah, play the episode. Please don't tell
don't
me.
Tell me what it is.
Don't tell me what it is.
Well, should I tell that one person what it is?
I think now's the time.
Yeah.
Okay, to this one person. Hi, how are ya? We watched. Oh. Sorry, our dogs are. No, that's fine, that's fine.
We're at 1:54.
We watched The House Bunny. The House Bunny, 2008, directed by Fred Wolf, but we're not talking about Fred Wolf today. I want to talk about the two women who wrote The House Bunny. Their names are Kristen Kiwi, her nickname is Kiwi, it's quotation marks, Kristen Kiwi Smith, and Karen McCullough. They wrote the movie. Do you want me to tell you what else they wrote
and why I care about them?
I
think this is the source of your love for this movie. So yeah, we need to hear what else they've done. Stat.
Okay. Well, this is important.
Yeah.
In no particular order, just the order that I'm remembering them in, these two women together as a team wrote 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh.
Legally Blonde.
Mm. All right.
Ella Enchanted.
Okay.
She's the Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's everything.
I mean,
that's
notable. An insane resume.
And they're currently writing. Oh, and they wrote Legally Blonde 2, I think. And they're currently writing Legally Blonde 3.
Spoilers.
I like kind of like the offhand tone you give to Legally Blonde 2.
Yeah, I don't. And they wrote Legally Blonde 2.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's okay though. No. But
I mean, let's think about that resume though. There's a lot of
10 Things I Hate About You
iconic rom-com energy there.
Yeah,
like that's a staple.
And I feel like a lot of them are rom-coms that at first glance just seem like rom-coms, like a chick flick, if you will. But then you like, but maybe they're rom-coms that got a bad rep at first, and like now they're being talked about again in like a with a new lens, maybe another look, perhaps, like a feminist angle, whatever you want to say. But I think that that's interesting. Yeah. So there.
So then that's what awesome. Makes, that's amazing. What makes The House Bunny then such a great addition to that filmography?
The House Bunny, well, I came across The House Bunny, if it came out in 2008,
The year The Dark Knight came out.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that, too, because we were discussing this when we were watching it.
Yeah. Save it for the podcast.
Oh, right. Okay, so I must have seen it in 2009, because I caught it on TV, and I missed the very beginning. But it wasn't that far into the movie, but my cousins were over, and I saw that it was on TV, and we started watching it, and I was like, this shit is hilarious. I was probably 10? Nine? No, 10 or 11? Like, too young.
Yeah.
It's a raunchy kind of movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about a Playboy bunny. but we caught it on TV and we were like, this is crazy. This is absolutely like mind blowing. And then I also watched the whole thing, never having seen Emma Stone before in my life. Emma Stone is in it, for those who don't know. And I thought it was Lindsay Lohan the whole time I watched it. And I was like, Lindsay looks different here. she's doing a great job.
In your defense, Lindsay looked different in a lot of movies, you know?
I just saw a redhead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A cool redhead. I was like, that's Lindsay Lohan. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so we watched the movie, and then my uncle, like, some time passed, not quite a year, my uncle took my cousin and I to Pawn America, and I saw the DVD, and I begged him to buy it for me, and he was clearly a little uncomfortable about it, but he bought it for me. Shout out, thanks. Mm-hmm. And
what a great place to get this movie.
I think it was meant to be bought at Pawn America.
I bought Over the Hedge at Pawn America. You remember, wow. Remember Over the Hedge?
I remember it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen that once also on TV.
Not a very good movie.
Did you sell that back to Pawn America?
I am, possibly. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I do want to say that thinking about the House Bunny and you bringing up Emma Stone, it is amazing, having seen Poor Things in the past like month, to watch, I don't know, like the genesis of a great performer. Like, she's amazing in this. Ed,
yeah,
I wrote down Emma Stone as a Nathan Fielder type character, which she lays on the cringe here in a really great way.
Yeah, she's
like, it's
really good.
So hard to watch, but so funny.
Have you seen Poor Things yet, Corey?
No.
Okay, then I won't be too specific, but I did write a note about how, I don't know where I wrote it though. I wrote that, well, as long as I can remember it from my brain, maybe I don't even need to see where I wrote it.
Yeah.
That the House Bunny and Poor Things are kind of similar because it's like, although Shelley, are we going to explain what the movie is about?
If you want to. I feel like oftentimes we don't. And we just get into it. But
let me give a brief.
A brief synopsis will do wonders for some of our listeners.
So the House Bunny is about a girl named Shelly. She just turned 27 years old, and she gets kicked out of the Playboy Mansion, or so she thinks. We'll get into that later. But she is a Playboy bunny who gets kicked out of the mansion and is forced to leave. And then she happens upon a sorority that is, like, very unpopular. They're losers, and they desperately need to become more popular in order to gain enough pledges that their house doesn't get taken away from them. So she becomes their house mother and is on a mission to turn them into kind of popular
gals. Yeah.
Yes.
And it becomes kind of a narrative of why are women like this considered popular, and what are the different ways that women are viewed by men?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
They even say at one point, because they're like, so now in order to be in a sisterhood, we have to be popular. And then Emma Stone, who plays Natalie, is like, no, oh my gosh, no. But in order to keep our house, yes, we do have to be popular. And then they say later that they're going to think of it as a thesis, and it's actually, the thesis is conventional archetypes of beauty and their effect on the opposite sex. I took 7 pages of notes.
I think you like this movie
too. I wrote the thesis thing down too, because it's like so clearly, you know, referencing the themes of the movie.
Yeah,
but then there's so much more too, with like age and you know, like more gender stuff, you know, the archetypes and what.
Yeah.
And I feel like this isn't as simplistic as just like inner beauty as some rom-coms will kind of fall into. I like the layers that it has in terms of talking about I guess like how women are perceived, and not only like what they like, the confidence that they have in themselves to be who they want to be. You know, that this movie does kind of follow that traditional structure of like, oh, they're becoming prettier and like more simplistic. Coming therefore, yeah, they're being more popular and now people are perceiving them differently. And oh no, now they're becoming the people they used to hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff of that there, but then it also kind of pulls back and it recognizes that like there's a lot to that. You know, there's a lot of nuance, which I appreciate about it.
Everyone's an individual and there are a lot of different types of ladies in the world.
Mm-hmm. I wrote, it's about exploration of true identity, finding yourself. It's about chosen family. I just kept writing things with exclamation points. And it's like, it's about harnessing the power of their femininity.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It fucking is. Yeah, oh, like, do you swear? I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, okay, sorry.
Those jerks.
Yeah, freaking jerks.
Corey, I guess I'll go to you then. Yeah. What's your history with this movie? You said you'd seen it once before.
Yeah, right? I've seen it before.
Do you remember what... That's all you're getting out of him, folks. That's it. Did you watch it, like, on TV, in the theater?
Watched it on TV. I can't remember if it was on, like, Comedy Central or HBO or something. Mm-hmm. Like, if there were commercials or not. Or if I
mine
rented
had
it.
Commercials.
I was wondering.
And it was censored.
I feel like I watched mine on, like, that. I also saw this for the first time on TV.
Yeah. I thought I showed it to you for the first time.
No.
Oh.
I'd seen it on Spike.
Okay. Spike TV.
Remember Spike TV?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
I definitely was like...
The channel for men.
It was a search. Like, you know, you have it on. It's on. You watch it every 10 minutes.
I think maybe I was like on an Anna Faris kick, you know, because she's lovely.
As one does.
I adore her.
Yeah, I love her so much. Smiley Face,
which you have told me to watch and someone else has told me to watch. I've never seen that.
Smiley Face, yeah, it's so good.
I've never seen it. What if I watch that tomorrow?
You should.
What then?
No, this should be a
okay,
part two.
Well, maybe. Okay, fine, I'll finally watch it. I love her.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get into her personal life right now, but I've read her autobiography and it's one of the better celebrity memoirs I've read. Not best.
It's all right.
I need
great.
To look at her filmography in general because I am...
Movie 43.
Oh,
I mean, I don't need to be reminded of that.
Scary movie. I just watched that for the first time. Okay.
Well, I love Scream. Like, I grew up, that was kind of a formative era in my life. So then the parody of it, too, is, like, super fun and funny. And she's like, you know, it was like, oh, man, who's
who is that?
And then it's like, yeah, she's great.
She's great. She has such like a unique voice, like literally actual voice coming out of her mouth. And she's just like got great comedic timing.
Yeah.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Is she the love interest?
She's the weather.
She's the weather reporter who goes, you may have seen a meteor. You may have cut that out. You may have seen a meteor shower, but you've never seen a shower meteor than this.
Oh, and she says meteor.
Oh my God! And that bitch from Vacation. What's her name?
Beverly D'Angelo.
Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she was like, "I think you mean metaphor. Are you really that dumb? We're really skipping around in
this
movie."
This is a scene that is the literal like
second to last scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say she has also in a bunch of random things that I don't really remember.
She's in Just Friends.
I've never seen that.
You
were just with Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. You were telling us about that.
She's also in Waiting, that Ryan Reynolds diner movie.
Damn, she and Ryan Reynolds.
Lost in Translation. Brokeback Mountain. Yeah, no, like, I'm going through some and I'm like, don't remember her
talk
in Brokeback Mountain.
Talk about movie 43.
I'll try not to.
Please. That one was funny, though. She's in the sketch with Chris Pratt. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't remember. She
thinks he's going to propose. Uh-huh. And she's like, I also have a really big question to ask you. And he's like, oh, well, I bet mine's bigger. And she's like, no, I actually think mine is. And he's like, well, what if we do it at the same time? And she's like, okay. And he says, will you marry me? And she says, I want you to poop on me.
Yeah.
I think that's really important to the podcast that we're sharing.
You guys should do a movie 43 episode.
Honestly,
It's like
I saw it once.
Here's the thing about Movie 43. I remember more things about Movie 43 than I do other comedies. It is, at the very least, memorable.
I saw it a lot, actually, because I was in love with Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Yeah, that we don't need to go there, right?
Okay, sorry, I'm revealing a lot.
He should have been in The House Bunny. Why wasn't he?
Young.
Yeah, they should have figured it out. This came out after Superbad.
I know, and Emma Stone and him were in Superbad. We're talking McLovin here. I just want to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're a McLovin stan? Have you ever listened to his band? Sorry.
No.
I don't think it exists anymore. It was called the Young Rapscallions. Again, I know this because I was obsessed with him. Like, I had a printed out picture of him that I took to school in a folder.
Nice.
Okay.
All right.
Reeling it in.
Yeah. You need to watch Maestro.
I actually don't think you do. Well, but Corey loves movies.
I love movies.
Okay, yeah. One thing I feel like you all should know as you get to know Corey is that Corey loves every movie just because they made it. Like, he's just, always happy that a movie was made. Even if he doesn't, like it,
Yeah. I still just appreciate that, the work. But then also, I think, just the technology ultimately is the foundation of, we can see this stuff. Like, we can watch a movie.
You're amazed by the science of it.
The science.
No, the fact that I can put in a movie from, 1927 and, just watch people, alive and breathing. Mm-hmm. The
photography.
The still it's history insane. Of it, it is pretty amazing.
But I'm, I'll hate a movie. That's
Suicide
fine.
Suicide Squad was the movie that I hated. The most.
First one?
You didn't like Rebel Moon.
Yeah, I didn't really think it was that
I have
good.
No opinion.
I didn't think it was that good, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it didn't make me go I hate this. You
right.
Know?
Right.
But well, Suicide Squad, I felt like
was a bad one.
It was just kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
It just treated its audience poorly, I felt.
So, yeah. Corey, the one who loves all films, now that we gave another look to The House Bunny, what are your initial thoughts on it?
It's great. I forgot that it was a Happy Madison movie.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
I've literally, my first note is start with this fun fact. Do you, Corey, I know you know who the terrific guy is at the beginning in the Happy Madison thing?
He looks familiar, but I'm not sure.
Robin, please reveal.
I don't know the answer to this, but I'm trying to imagine his face and see if I can guess who it is. Is it someone I would know?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Okay, yeah. It's not another famous person.
No, but it's a famous person's dad.
Okay.
It's Adam Sandler's dad.
Nice.
Isn't that so sweet?
Yeah.
I wonder if he's the guy who says terrific, too.
I should hope so. Give him his likeness, and then it's just some random guy who says it. I mean, it's a logo, but it is really sweet.
It is.
Okay, so Happy Madison.
Yeah, that's great. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, all those classic Adam Sandler movies.
The Benchwarmers.
I think I saw... I don't think I saw that.
That was a sleepover staple for me. Yeah. Like we had that on all the time.
Yeah,
in the Sandlot.
Pretty soon,
hell yeah.
After we started dating, you were like, "I need to show you something important," and you sat me
down
and
showed
me the Benchwarmers.
Yeah,
there's something about the aesthetic of a Happy Madison production that I think is super important. There's kind of a list of things that you need. You need a very popular comedic star surrounded by a few very memorable supporting actors. You need a very specific plot that centers around the main actor. So something you wouldn't give an Adam Sandler type movie to Rob Schneider. It's
different. Don't give anything to Rob Schneider.
I would agree.
He's been tweeting some shit.
Oh, okay.
Always been tweeting some shit. But then you go to, yeah, like something like a Rob Schneider movie, and then you go to something like an Anna Faris movie, you know? So, like, it's very, very much the movie is molded to fit the actor. You have a lot of celebrity cameos. You usually have a big ending climactic scene where everybody from the movie is there, and there's like the final beautiful moment happens where the victory triumphs over evil or whatever.
There's always like some outrageous like pain.
Yep.
Like physical. Yep.
But like, and pain. In this, it's the close-ups of the man's nipples as a cat is attached to him.
That is the worst of it.
What about her burns?
Yeah, her burns are bad.
Oh my god,
too.
Over the manhole.
Those are bad.
That's probably the.
Yeah, the kind of the short.
That's a good gag.
The short, small instances of almost like aggressive physical comedy. Like the scene where she's wearing the glasses and she leaps over the table.
That shocked you, Corey. You really were like, what?
Well, it's just so ridiculous, you know, but like, but also, you know, that's what's great about movies. You just like just throw your body all over the place.
Yep.
One of my favorite ones is actually from Mr. Deeds. It's when Adam Sandler's like riding the banister of, you know, this like long staircase or whatever. And when he gets to the end, you know, it's like this big spill where he like is flipping onto his back and he like lands on a round table that has like a bunch of like, you know, silver like
hors
d'oeuvres vases or something. It's
like messy
and it's like metal. So it's like not only you're hitting the table, you're hitting the ground, flying off of this thing, there's all this metal shit, but then like, you know, the voiceover, because I think it's like a wider shot, you see this happen, you just hear him go like, my back. That, you know, that kind of stuff is present in the House Bunny a bunch. There's like some weird stuff. Like one thing that I really like thinking about, especially Robin, when you mentioned the writers, like being women, you know, that it's like, let's do a Happy Madison movie for girls.
Yeah.
Or like, what's the girl version? You know, there are ladies out there that want to laugh, that laugh at this stuff.
Yeah.
This kind of
I like to laugh.
It's like just dumb shit, you know? There should be like a girl's version of that, you know? Like, but that's not just like, what, you know, formulaic or something. So it's...
Right,
because
it's
not. I mean, it is in some ways. Like,
it's just hitting on all these topics.
Yeah,
You know, Anna Faris in this is not... She's a character. She's not your straight man Adam Sandler from, like, Grown Ups type role, where he's Adam Sandler, so it's hard for him to get in a character anymore. So, you know, it's like these things happen where, you know, not every actor can be, like, a Hoobie from Hoobie Halloween.
Yeah.
Or, you
That's
know, like...
That's great.
You know, it's incredible. Yeah. But, like, it's neat how Happy Madison films kind of... they change and they kind of ebb and they flow based on what the actor needs and what their comedy strengths are. I mean, Anna Faris just like knocks it out of the park with this.
And it's not just like Billy Madison. It's not just the girl version of Happy Gilmore or something.
It never feels that like one note.
Yeah, it has its own identity.
Yeah, but it's just a very well-written story.
In the umbrella of the Happy Madison universe, you know, where it's like all these different kinds of stories.
Yeah, I mean, Happy Madison has really grown exponentially since they kind of became a Netflix-based company. Like, I don't think Adam Sandler rarely makes movies now if they're not for Netflix, because he's in charge of basically everything. You know, with the whatever that Western one was.
Ridiculous Six.
I think that was the first one that they made for the company. You know, now he lets... You know, David Spade was in a movie with the movie called The Wrong Missy, and then there was the movie with Adam Sandler and Chris Rock, and, you know, Hoobie Halloween, of course, the murder mysteries.
You're still not invited to my bat mitzvah.
Exactly.
This year.
That would probably be the best analog or the best comparison to this, in terms of it being very focused on its own audience and doing it in a good way, in, like, a proper way that doesn't just be like, all right, they, you know... The teen girls can have something too. It's like, no, it works.
They
it
thought works about it. Thing. You can tell they put thought into it. I do want to talk. I go back like a couple things that I was because I went way off topic. But I wrote that this is a lot like Poor Things because the character of Shelley is just so earnest. Like, she doesn't have an unhonest bone in her body, and she says exactly what she's thinking, which is not to give everything in Poor Things away, but Emma Stone's character is, you know,
up front.
How much do you know?
It's fine.
Okay. Well, it's just, it's similar because it's about a woman who, like, is very naive and doesn't know a lot of things where, so for example, like, Shelley grew up in an orphanage. She was an orphan, and she felt, I mean, if I'm psychoanalyzing the character of Shelley, she, like, wants to be wanted. And then so, she, like, as a teenager, she started being in pageants. She, this is all in, like, the opening monologue as she's, like, the exposition of the film. And then she got, like, scouted and asked to join the Playboy Mansion. So she's really been an orphan who didn't feel like she wanted or was wanted by anyone to suddenly she was wanted because she was pretty and she didn't have to really, like, experience the real world because of that, and she's just lived in the Playboy Mansion ever since. And then it's about her, like, being forced to experience the world, the real world, which is a lot like the Barbie movie, too, and Poor Things, too. It's, like, about a sheltered woman who has the mind of a baby and hasn't experienced the real world, so it's, they're similar. There's something there.
This movie treats the character of Shelley with a real... It's like a layer of sincerity in the same way that Shelley is herself a sincere character. Because what you want from her is for her to be accepted and to be loved. And when you find out that she's being kicked out of the mansion, it's like kind of a moment of real sympathy for her. And you feel for her and you go on her journey and you're like wondering where she's going to end up. And for her to kind of be confronted with like the harsh reality of, I guess, how women treat each other and how like people who are deemed as not conventionally attractive or misfits, how they are treated in society, leads her on this kind of righteous path of not quite revenge, but like, you know, I don't know, a moment of discovery for these girls. It's so good. Yeah, and it really works as like that sense of, you know, going from the beginning to the end and really following her character and sympathizing with her.
And you can tell everything right away from the bumper sticker on her car that just says, mean people are mean.
She's right. That's a fact of life.
Yeah, I wrote down wholesome because it's rare for a character to be like that. But I feel like there are some, kind of reminds me of, like, I can't place it now, but I feel like there are some characters that are like that, you know, that are just, like, you know, pretty much unaffected, like, you know, when later on when the sorority's like, this was all your fault, you know, you can tell like her feelings are hurt and that she just like gave up her dream or, you know, said no to her dream and now she's being kicked out of another thing, you know, so like really tough moment. But the way that she's like, oh, okay, I'll leave you alone. Like, sorry, you know, she's not like getting pissed and being like suddenly switching to now being like shitty. You know,
she's
about
a lover,
it.
Not a fighter.
Yeah.
She really is. Like, she just wants to believe that everyone's, like, the best version of themselves and, like, that no one would do anything bad. Mm-hmm. And, like, even at the beginning, which this is, I'm going to preface, I think this is the best written line in any comedy ever.
Damn.
But at the beginning, she happens upon this meeting, or not the very beginning. She's kicked out of the mansion. She spends the night in jail. We'll move on. And then she happens upon this meeting of all the house mothers of all the different sororities. And she's like, well, I want to be a house mother. And then the bitchy house mother, played by that woman whose name I can't remember. Who is she again?
Beverly D'Angelo.
Okay, I'm not going to remember that, but her... oh? Beverly D'Angelo's character says, oh, honey... This is a sorority, not a brothel. And Shelley goes, a brothel? No, I'm not looking to make soup. I want to be a house mother. Like, she doesn't even get that she's being, like, insulted. Because she's like, why would any... Like, let's just be nice to each other. We're having a misunderstanding. Like, that's what she thinks. Or later when Kat Dennings' character, because Kat Dennings is in it, says, oh my god, she's so vapid. And she's like, oh my god, you're like the 100th person who's told me that. Thank you. Like, she just thinks it's a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has a way of letting compliments sometimes compliments are misinterpreted, and a lot of times, you know, insults are misinterpreted. Everything kind of flies off of her. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like a pretty standard, like, character. Like, I think of the movie Big with Tom Hanks as, like, a child man who, like, you know, goes into, like, a structured system. In that case, it's like a toy factory or toy production company. Mm-hmm. And with his intuition and his innocence. Like, overhauls the entire company, right? Mm-hmm. In this, it's, like, kind of a similar thing. It's, like, she is the catalyst to get these young women to understand something about themselves and to change themselves. And then what's interesting is that the movie kind of pulls back and is like, is this how we wanted these women to change? Like, did they even need to change at all? You know, mm-hmm. that creates that kind of tension, and that's what makes it so well written. So
yeah,
I'm having so much fun. I could talk about this forever.
Well, should we go through and find some notes of particular that struck us? I feel like we're kind of all over the place, which is fine because this movie's really good. I don't know if there's anything that jumped out to you on this viewing, Corey.
Anna Faris's expressions, and also Emma Stone's expressions. Like, their performances are just really good. There was this show that was, like, on Fox for, like, a few episodes, or one season, I think it got canceled, called Drive. And it was Emma Stone.
What?
Nathan Fillion.
That's crazy.
Oh, we were just talking about him.
And that is another time I remember, like, seeing, or, you know, being aware of Emma Stone.
Wait, yeah, that we're sharing our earliest Emma Stone memories, because this is mine. The House Bunny is mine.
I feel like...
Who's yours?
I mean, it had to have been this, but it wasn't like, oh, I know her. Like, I recognize her as an actor. Mm-hmm. It might have been Easy A.
Oh.
It might have been...
which is another great...
Maybe Birdman, she was very memorable.
No way!
But that late?
Is she in Superbad?
Yeah, that was her first
movie. Yeah, I know her from that, too. Superbad. I definitely was first, like... Then. I think Birdman was a big moment for her.
Also, she was in, like, those Spider-Man movies with Andrew Garf.
Yeah. Those were, like, around the same time. As, like, she really came up around, like, 2012 to, like, 2015. Mm-hmm. That was, like, a big moment for her in transitioning, I guess, to a bigger audience.
What is this
audience show
Drive, though?
It's, like, a cross-country race. You know, sort of like Cannonball Run or whatever, where it's like, or Rat Race.
Mm-hmm. You know? You're saying a lot of stuff that I don't know.
Have you not seen Rat Race?
No, what is
Rat Race? Oh my god.
Save it for the it for season 3.
Another episode.
I won't look it up, but I am looking up Drive because that sounds wild.
I watched it on the computer or like I would
okay.
I would log
logged on.
I would log on to like fox.com or whatever and like watch the, you know, go to shows and like watch
the
episodes.
They have the whole show on there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I did that with Glee though on Fox. So I literally
did
was
you
doing
have
the
to
same
have a cable
shit.
Subscription for this?
Oh, I can't
no.
remember. I don't
no,
think
you
so.
Could just
watch
it.
The whole, see, this is a great time. A great time to be alive. You don't have to log in with your cable provider.
It was years ago, but I liked it and it was cool. And then it was like, and then I would go in to watch new episodes and it's like, oh, well, maybe they're off. Maybe next week.
How many seasons did this have?
I think just the one.
I'm going to watch all of Drive.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's
only a few episodes.
A single DVD out there that's the complete series.
Yeah,
I'll find it.
Probably all on YouTube.
Yeah.
She's in what? I mean, I'll move on from Emma Stone in a second. She's in one episode of iCarly. She played... is the guy's name Lubert? The guy with the mole? He worked at the...
Hubert?
No, Lubert, I think is his name. He had the mole.
I'm going to be put on a list for Googling iCarly mole guy.
No, you won't. You
Lubert, you're right.
Oh my god, I can't believe it. She played Lubert.
His last name was Slime.
Lubert Slime.
That's a gross name.
That's a Well, no wonder he had that big old mole. She's in the episode. She played his like long lost girlfriend who was crazy.
Crazy ex-girlfriend.
That's so awesome. It's funny how like what I like about Emma Stone is that she transitioned from like these very overtly comedic supporting roles and leading roles, like in the case of Easy A. Mm-hmm. And found herself as like one of the leading actresses in America, but like none of that is really gone at all.
No, we just watched The Curse earlier.
The Curse. Oh my god! I haven't seen it.
Don't say anything.
We won't. We won't.
But like,
she's crazy.
You know, we're halfway through it, and it's just like, as a performer, she's so fearless, and she really never neglects that side of her that's willing to get a little bit goofy with it. You know, like Poor Things is absolutely wacky. It's so great.
Yeah.
And yet, she's still like in a lane that's, I guess, traditionally satisfying to awards audiences and whatever, and considered high art. But even in films like the House Bunny, Easy A,
she's so funny.
No, it's like, it's so important that, like, I don't know, she's always like maintained that level of kind of like a screwball energy for herself. So it's so good. Yeah.
So she plays Natalie, who is the
Natalie.
I
love that gag.
It's so good, and they do it. They bring it back at the end. So basically, Shelley has this quirk, I will say, where when someone introduces themselves to her, she, like, for example, Natalie says her name is Natalie, and you do it really well. I was gonna try, and I'm actually not going to.
Joanne.
Carrie Ann. It's Carrie Mae.
Oh
no, you're right, Joanne. No, you're right. You're right. Oh my god, I'm sorry.
I know the movie.
You know the movie better than me. Okay, she says it back to them like that, and then Kat Dennings, who plays Mona, is like, "Oh my god, that's great. You hired The Exorcist." And
pretty funny joke.
It was a good laugh.
Yeah.
And then Natalie, who's Emma Stone, is like, "What is that? Like, some kind of Yoda thing?" And I could recite the whole movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't.
Well.
But impressive.
It starts with this. Terrific. okay. And then Anna Faris is like, "No, it's just something I do to remember names." Natalie. I can't do it.
It's.
I can't believe how well you do it.
Corey.
Ooh.
Robin.
Okay, never do it again.
My voice is already getting sore. I do want to, I don't know, if I'm looking at my notes right, I should have brought this up a little earlier, but I do love how in the opening introduction, she is narrating about her time at the orphanage and how she was dropped off as a child, and how her parents, apparently, she said, "I hear they did want the basket back, though."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
she was delivered in a basket.
I also wrote,
but they
down.
Took the basket back.
Funny.
And it's kind of just this such a great little start to this movie, and just like how, God, it's just so silly in like in a nice way.
Every line is so perfectly written, though. Like every line is. It's not that every line is fucking hilarious. I mean, most are, but some are just, like, so perfectly written that they set something up so well, or, like, they hit everything. I also want to make sure that everyone knows that she was, I think I said this, but she was kicked out of the mansion because for turning 27, which is 59 in bunny years.
Yeah, she's too old.
She's too old.
Yeah, she got to get out of there.
Which I get it. I'm 25, which is 57 in bunny years. Like, I'm getting up there.
Yeah, you need to have an exit plan, honestly.
I know she says that she was 58 or whatever when she was 26.
Yeah.
But I feel like the scale would be a little different.
I was thinking about this, too, because...
like, 26 is actually more like 53.
Probably. It's like, it's not that... It's that women or bunnies or whatever age faster. So, like, and the years get, the older they get, the more they age in between each year.
Yeah, right.
We'll do some math later.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit down with a calculator.
Some bunny math.
Yeah, I'll do some bunny math.
Punch some numbers up. We'll see what's going on.
I know an accountant. I'll get him on the phone right now.
Yeah, okay. It's going to happen.
Okay. I also want to talk about the sound design of every time she opens her car door.
Yeah.
Her creaky car door.
Yeah. It gets really obnoxious.
Well, it's like,
and the like all the dogs are or it's like noises. Nature reacts.
Yeah, and she, Corey, you wrote it down what she says. Yeah.
Noises.
Well, that's like her experiencing the world for the first time, or, you know, regular life outside of a Playboy mansion.
Yes.
And yeah, just like hearing dogs barking, and she's like realizing, like, whoa, there are noises around. So she just says, "Noises."
I mean, she was taken care of in an orphanage. She gained a lot of like autonomy by, like, doing the pageants and everything. Mm-hmm. And then she moved to the Playboy Mansion. Like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, she's, you know, walking out of the Playboy Mansion in the car that she drove there in, which they didn't maintain at all, clearly. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's such a good premise for someone who's, like a newborn baby.
The,
experiencing the world.
The joke, too, of, like, the whole build-up, you know, explaining who she is, how she got to where she is, and, like, what she's doing, and what she wants is to, like, be Miss November, mm-hmm. be a centerfold. And then, you know, her being like, it's my birthday today. I'm waking up and I feel so great. And there's this letter from Hugh Hefner. Is it going to tell me? Like, I hope it does. And it's like, what? The worst case scenario?
Yeah.
Like,
which it, can I feel like we should say.
It's a funny joke. Like, I don't know.
It
is. Yeah. But it's also devastating.
It is devastating. But it's kind of funny seeing the movie, like, just be kind of obvious about it. Mm-hmm. But that's why it's funny.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a joke.
Mm-hmm. And I like to laugh.
The jokes are the best.
I feel like so then what happens is we find out later that the letter wasn't actually written from Hugh Hefner. By the way, he's in the movie kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Which Corey was surprised by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just like that. I will give you credit. The first scene is very much, it feels like,
Stanley.
There's the cameo. There's Hugh. Yeah. All right, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like there's going to be more to his character, and yeah. he does have a few more scenes, which is interesting.
And he's sad.
Yeah, basically, yeah. He really humanizes him.
Hugh, did you do that on purpose? Humanizes
Hugh.
I thought you did that on purpose. Maybe you did. We'll never know.
Let's. You did.
He did.
I did.
Yeah.
Good job.
Well, I do love what she says about the centerfold, though, where she says, it says, I'm naked in the middle of a magazine.
Yeah.
Unfold me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, that is...
Yeah.
It's the highest honor.
I mean, hey, that's a pretty big deal if you're a Playboy bunny.
Which I also appreciate the way it looks at, like, sex work or like, modeling or whatever, because it's never, like... When she tells people she lived in the Playboy Mansion, they're not usually like, okay, slut. They're like a little taken aback because sometimes she says things like, men used to write to me from prison, sometimes in their own blood. But, like, it's very respectful of sex work. Like, she doesn't leave the Playboy Mansion at the end when she, like, does eventually get offered the role spot of Miss November centerfold by Hugh, who realizes that she's been... sent away wrongfully.
Yeah.
She doesn't quit because she thinks it's a disgusting work, and she's still best friends with a lot of the girls at the mansion.
Yeah.
It's like she quits because she realizes that she has a new passion, and it's being with the girls at the sorority, mm-hmm. and that she liked learning because mm-hmm. she later learns about things and stuff and topics.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I actually... didn't, like, expect that flip where, like, then the girls, you know, the sorority girls are teaching her how to be, like, not a loser, but, like, a regular person or whatever.
Someone who knows what, like, the USA stands for.
United States of America.
Yeah. That one of the funniest jokes... during the montage for, like, learning stuff is where there are all those books open on the table, mm-hmm. and she's, like, pointing to, like, one sentence on one page of each book, like, going across the table, and then she remembers something from a book earlier and, like, slides down the other side of the table in her chair, you know, and, like, points to a different book, and then right before it cuts gives this look of, like, yeah, that's right.
Like, that it clicked. It.
Yeah.
That's what I needed so to know.
Funny. You see the light bulb go off, and she's, like, enjoying learning.
And I love, like, jokes that are innocent like that. Same with the voice thing with her remembering people's names. It's like, that's such a weird joke. You know, it's not, like, it's not crass or anything. It's just, like, you know, it could be out of the movie, and the movie would still be just as good and as funny. You know, but that joke is really funny.
And it's so memorable. Different. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when it happens, like, the two other times after you learn about it, they're both kind of like take you off guard, or you know, at least the one at like the end, I didn't see coming, even though she's like, "And what's your name?" You know, and it's like, oh man.
Yeah. She says it into the microphone while she's trying to save the sorority. Or she says it later too when she is introduced to Oliver, who we haven't talked about yet. Oliver. Mm-hmm. When Oliver showed up, I literally wrote, Oliver's played by Colin Hanks. Mm-hmm. And I wrote, the way I giggled and kicked my feet when Colin Hanks showed up. Yeah. I just went, hee hee hee.
Well, I forgot that he was in this, and that was a joy. And it was reminding me of Orange County. Was that around this time?
I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
Jack Black
kind of him.
Is that a
right?
movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a movie with Jack Black and Colin Hanks and no one told me.
Yeah.
Yeah, from 2002.
So it's Ooh. A few years before. But I feel like Colin Hanks was kind of like in stuff around this time. Like he was kind
of. Mike White is also in it.
Really? Yeah. Oh, what if I watch that tomorrow? What's the other thing I said I was going to watch tomorrow?
Smiley Face.
Okay, someone write this down. Yeah. If you're listening at home, write this down for me and then tell me.
Put in the comments which other movies you think would be great to watch.
Any suggestions?
Movies. Oh, yeah, that's cute. That's
Smiley
cute.
Smiley Face for Anna Faris, Orange County for Colin Hanks.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, I really. Another celebrity memoir I read, Busy Phillips, she and Colin Hanks dated for a long time. Mm. That's it. That's my fact.
Sweet. Super great.
Thanks.
But I do like bringing up how you were kicking your feet with Colin Hanks.
He's just cute.
I do like that this movie is, in many ways, a rom-com first and an Adam Sandler-esque comedy second. It doesn't feel as crass as like something like The Benchwarmers is when you got like Beef Stew... and you know the part where the boys they fart on the Bill Hader's character, they call it Beef Stew.
I didn't even remember that Bill Hader was in it.
Not Bill Hader, John Hader.
John Hader
of Napoleon Dynamite. Yes.
Oh.
No. Apologies, Bill, if you're listening.
he would not never.
To John.
Not
to John. No.
Yeah.
No, John's fine.
John's just happy to be involved.
No, but like a lot of these. Especially like the not Adam Sandler ones. I mean, his can also be crass, but there's kind of like a level of sweetness to the Adam Sandler persona that often offsets some of the more intense humor.
Yeah.
You think of like, Big Daddy, which is like, he's just like a really sweet, like guy.
Big Daddy.
Yeah, he learns to love this child, right? Yeah. You know, all of that. And this movie, it steers away from like what some of those Happy Madison movies can do, which is just gross out gags.
I don't know, there's the nipple thing, and then also he steps on her foot while they're dancing at the old folks' home, and she yells "bitch suck" at the top of her lungs.
I'm not saying this isn't crass. I just definitely think it has a nice level of like sincerity and sweetness to it that definitely isn't as like it's a little more prominent.
Yeah.
Than some other. Happy Madison films, which where you watch them and you're like, I like have like less faith for humanity now that I've watched this.
I feel sick.
Yeah.
No, Colin Hanks's character Oliver is so cute, and then he introduces himself to Shelley while she's doing the car wash, which is her kind of ploy to make the girls her first ploy to make the girls of the Zeta house sexy, which backfires. And he says Oliver, and she says, how does she do her voice?
Oliver.
Yes. So that's the first, like, callback to that. You're so good at it. But he works at a nursing home, and she's so earnest. She's like, that's so nice, you give nurses a place to live. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, like...
Word jokes.
A lot of the humor is that.
Well, he says, no, it's old folks or old people. And she's like, oh, wow, I know lots of old men, hairy and not hairy, but I don't mean to brag. And she's not joking. Like, she really does not mean to brag, which is sweet.
Yeah, no, it's sweet.
And he falls for her. And then the movie's also about, like, because she goes on a date with him later, and she's trying all her tricks that she learned at the Playboy Mansion with boys that... are probably disgusting. And like she tries things like saying the word manhole a lot and standing over a manhole that has hot steam in it.
Acting like she has another date that night.
Yeah, saying she's got another date. Yeah, right after. Like, what's a girl in demand gonna do?
Which Colin Hanks plays that moment very well. You can tell he's, like, furious, but he, like, he's, like, a decent guy, like, innately, kind of. So he just essentially is just like, all right, well, the meal was on me, and I hope you have a good rest of your night with that other guy. And he just walks out. Yeah. And it's like, you know, he handled it like a champ.
Honestly. He still seems, like, engaged, even though it feels like she's floundering and trying to, like, how he's not reacting to any of the things I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I still...
He's still trying.
I still feel that he's, like, into her. Just kind of waiting for, like, a real moment or whatever. But then when she says that thing, you know, then he's like, oh, well, shit, if you're going to be like that, then, like, no thanks.
And then later she goes back to the sorority and she's like, I don't understand, none of my tricks worked. And they're like, well, what if he's the kind of guy who wants to, like, talk?
She's like, what?
She's blown away by this idea.
Yeah.
And then... and she's like, this is what prompts her to start learning, doing all the books. Mm-hmm. She starts attending classes at the school, which is so funny too, because I feel like in a lot of these movies that take place at like a college or a high school and it's about like a party or like all these kids, you very rarely see them in class. Like, this is the only time we see these people in a classroom is when she's learning for her second date with Oliver, which then she like de-sexifies herself. She wears really the worst outfit I've ever seen.
And still look good.
Yes, but she didn't look like herself. And that's what...
And the glasses. Yeah.
So that's the other thing, is she wears Natalie's glasses, which is so funny when she puts them on and her eyes are gigantic. And she's like, Natalie, oh my God, you should really go see an eye doctor. And
Natalie's like... Like, that's why I went. Like,
that's how I got those glasses. To get these glasses.
Yeah, that's a great sight gag to her at the... At the dinner with, like, just the huge eyes.
Yeah.
And her so index funny. Cards, because she keeps knocking things over and she's spilling stuff and she starts cleaning it up. He's like, are these index cards? Just index cards. These aren't.
They're napkins. Cards.
They're napkins.
Yeah.
They're index cards with That's topics. It's
cute, though, because she's, like, trying.
She was prepared.
You know. Yeah.
But no, she just needs to be herself. Mm-hmm. And at the end, she's like, I was a Playboy bunny. And he's like, I know. And I don't care. Yeah. Like.
But did she not reveal that to him at the beginning?
No.
That,
but, like...
But it's also, like, kind of obvious.
It's, and the one guy, the one waiter,
who's
the grandma's boy guy.
And so, also the producer of the film.
Yeah.
There's so many layers, and, like, that's what Happy Madison films are all about. It's, like, the lore and the cameos that all, like... Mm-hmm. Like, Shaq has been in Adam Sandler movies. He's been in not Adam Sandler movies, but Happy Madison movies like this one.
Yeah.
It's just like a bunch of, like a rotating cast of characters in a lot of ways.
But okay, the grandma's boy man is the waiter.
Yeah, he recognizes her from Playboy.
Girls with GEDs.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote that down.
Yeah, that's funny.
I also wrote down Girls of Charlie Sheen.
I knew you wrote that
which
down.
Means that she was with Charlie Sheen at some point.
No, that was just like a
or like that
a concept for one of the
like
shoots.
She was like in the concept. I was like, girly.
No. Stay away from That's him. Just the photo. That's
and this
just
was
the...
before his stuff, right?
Was it 2008?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I feel like Winning and all that was like around that time.
That's what I'm trying to remember.
I remember like vividly, like my parents like watching like 2020 or whatever he was on.
Maybe that's why they're making the joke.
Yeah, I bet he was relevant.
Relevant, yeah.
Are you really? What are you even looking
March
up for that?
March 1st, 2011.
Oh, so this is pre.
In his first ever tweet, Charlie Sheen wrote, "Winning, choose your vice. Hashtag winning. Hashtag choose your vice." He would go on to use the catchphrase winning repeatedly during his week-long media spree. I remember this.
I don't think I knew what that was from. Like, I didn't realize that's where it was from.
That was insane.
That's a very Shooter McGavin energy. Yeah. To touch on Christopher McDonald being in the House Bunny, and he's actually like a good guy.
He's the guy
who's like strict but fair.
He's gives like the president of the or something of like the university sorority or like Greek life or something. I don't know his title.
Yeah.
But he's the one who we're first introduced to him when Shelley happens, or not happens upon, Shelley approaches the Zeta house. And she overhears an interaction between Christopher McDonald's character and Emma Stone, Natalie. And he's saying that if they don't get 30 pledges, they're going to lose the charter for their house.
Yeah.
Okay, are you all following this? I went back to the beginning.
There's also that really good gag where, as he's telling Natalie this, Shelley pokes Natalie with the stick.
Yeah, because she fell.
She's hiding.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not so much like I'm getting your attention as like I'm scaring you. And she screams, and then Christopher McDonald's like, drama queen or something
like
that.
Drama queen.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh man, he's going to be the shitty dean.
But then it ends
up, he's the dean.
And then Beverly D'Angelo is the the main, like, adult
bitch.
The main adult bitch.
I hate her. Yeah. I literally, okay, so then there's the horrible, so the Zetas are the girls we are rooting for that Shelley is helping.
Yep.
The horrible sorority is Phi Iota Mu.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Literally was like, oh, actually, this is interesting. Me calling my own note interesting.
Yeah.
This gets me thinking about the new Mean Girls movie, which I hated.
I was thinking of it just now.
Oh, okay. Where one of my many complaints with the movie was that the plastics, like Regina George and her girlies, weren't really that mean in this one. Like, they were very, like, tolerant mean girls. But, like, the mean girls in Phi Iota Mu are evil, racist, fucking bigots. Like, they are saying slurs. They are being horrible and conniving. Like, towards the end when Ashley, I'm assuming her name is Ashley, I don't even remember, but that's, like, just the name she should have. Ashley steals, sorry to any Ashleys listening, she steals their bids for their...
Yeah.
No, it's
pledges.
it's genuinely fraud.
Send her to jail.
No, exactly. I love a good like antagonist force that I can root against.
Oh man, I feel like
I hated them.
I hate it too, but because it makes me think of why can't we just get along? Like, why is there any conflict?
That's so Shelley. You're Shelley.
Yeah,
they were jealous of the Easter Island party or
they called it an Aztec party, but Natalie brings up that it doesn't make sense that there's
the
Easter Island heads there.
Which is like honestly a pretty progressive joke for the time.
And a very valid point, and
then
Shelley's like, no, like, you can't be too smart.
Yeah, no, you can't, you can't be saying that here.
Yeah.
Which is bad advice.
I think they were jealous of both the party, which seems like they either spent most of Shelley's Playboy money, or the, like, some sort of, like, trust fund in the ambition and scope of this party.
Which makes me wonder, like, why couldn't they just use that money to save their house?
Right.
No, you gotta get the pledges.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Movie logic.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
But then you have... the reason I would be jealous of the party is that they have that really cool, like, lava pit also turns into a slide goes down to, like...
A second
lava pit that's, like, orange. Like, honestly, you put a slide in a movie, like, I bump it up at half a star.
You literally were yelling and you're like, I want to go down that slide.
Yeah, no, like when you watch the Goonies and, like, they go down the big slide before they get to the pirate ship, I'm like, this is what movies are all about.
Yeah.
You gotta have a big
cool slide.
Have a cool slide in it. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a Frisbee get thrown at some point,
no,
so
you
that's
were,
an automatic perfect movie for
you were
me.
It
was very college, like, I feel
for sure.
Like, I saw so many Frisbees being thrown on a college campus.
Yeah.
My brain broke.
Robin.
Oh, yeah. So, well, okay. I'm skipping around, but then basically Shelley, after the girls of Zeta are humiliated by the Phi Iota Mu girls at the karaoke bar, when the Phi Iota Mu girls... force the Zeta girls to go up and perform the song Like a Virgin,
and they change the
fucking lyrics, which is high-tech hacking, by the way.
Like
how can you do that?
Right?
Like a loser. We're rejected all the time.
Something
like a loo-hoo-hoo-hooser. Oh, like a big bag of poop.
Yeah.
there's a they use the R slur in it, stuff like that. It's not good. But then the one girl, the pregnant Zeta girl, played by Catherine McPhee, runner up on American Idol, star of the NBC show Smash.
Thank you for the detour.
Should we talk about Smash? No,
I think
okay.
we can get.
Okay. she gets really into the song, and she's like not even realizing that the lyrics are changed, and everyone else has stopped singing because they're like, this is not. These are not good words that we're saying.
No, but she's killing it up there on the stage. Yeah.
You can see why she almost won American Idol.
Yeah, it's there.
I was thinking that was going to, like, they were going to embrace it, and then it was going to be a moment where, like, they weren't made fun of.
No.
But then it was like, okay, we're just being humiliated.
It's sad. And then she goes, that was not very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that she's sad. Mm-hmm. And but then they go back to the Zeta house, and Shelly gives them a pep talk. And they're all like, we can't be like you. Like, we're not pretty like you, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I can make you guys the most popular girls on campus. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just believe me and give me a chance. And then they unleash, like, the horrible mean girls and their horrible frat boyfriends unleash a pig into the house that's wearing a shirt that says Zeta on it, and that's the last
classic
straw.
College prank.
I don't get Greek life. I was not in Greek life.
Same, yeah.
I did watch Greek on ABC Family.
Okay.
Which that is counts. A really great representation of Greek life because I know.
Because you know.
Yeah.
Let's get him to the Greek.
That is a film with Jonah Hill and Russell Crowe.
Russell Brand.
That's a...
Russell Crowe!
Oh my god, Russell Crowe.
We just watched Les Mis.
Yeah, okay. It's true.
Oh
my god. Russell Brand is like a musician who has to get to like a specific theater. It's like the Greek theater or something of the sort.
So it's not about Greek life?
It's not about Greek life at all. appreciate...
It's like 16 Blocks.
Is that one good? Should I watch that one tomorrow? I
remember 16 Blocks.
Oh, what's 16 Blocks? I thought you were just telling me that that's how far it was.
You need to do all the explanations tonight, Corey, because I'm like apparently messing up everyone's...
Wait, what's 16 Blocks? Is that a movie?
Richard Donner, I think, right? Bruce Willis, Yasin Bey.
Bruce Willis's daughter is in The House Bunny. She plays Joanne.
Richard Donner is right. Yeah, I've never seen this.
Wait, what is it? 16 Blocks?
Yeah, Mos Def.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's not his name anymore, right?
Well, Google says Mos Def. I mean, you know.
It was some years back that I think he went by Yasin.
I think that's how he was going at that time.
Okay, sure.
Because he had a couple albums out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've lost me completely.
Oh, mm-hmm. We got to put on some Mos Def.
I'm going to change the subject.
I'd be back to the subject.
Yeah, yep.
Back to the subject. One other theme that continues happening, or like a running gag, is that the Zeta girls, every sorority has to have a philanthropy.
Yeah.
And when Natalie first explains this to Shelly, she first calls it what's a philanopy?
Philanopy, yeah.
And then it keeps mutating throughout the film. Until after she uses it for the first time correctly right before she goes on her, like, intellectual date with Oliver, where she's like, can I unbutton my sweater a little bit, give him a little philanthropy? And now he's like, that's cute, you used it right. But throughout the movie, she's saying, like, philanopy and philtrophy. And, but what they end up doing for their philtrophy or philanopy is they shoot a provocative calendar a la Playboy, and to raise money for Oliver's nursing home. And this is one line that I'm obsessed with, is when he reads what she writes on the check, you know, where it says a pay to the order of,
right.
It says a pay to the order of old people. I love
that. I miss
that,
actually.
I say that to myself every time I fill out a check.
That's so influential. The power that the House Bunny has.
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I love about that that running gag of her mispronouncing it is in the subtitles, it's spelled out, like, with hyphens and stuff. And it's just funny to see, like, non-words spelled out. And there's a couple different examples of that too, where a guy says "hezity hang" or something.
Yeah,
he says "pizzanties."
Yeah,
I'm trying to get into those pizzanties.
It's great. Oh, I just understood what he meant by that.
Yeah.
You were like, he's just saying.
I've watched this movie literally like probably 100 times.
Yeah.
I've never understood what he was saying.
Because the subtitles make it read like translator. Pizza.
It does look like pizza.
P-I-Z-Z-A-N-T-I-E-S. So it's like,
oh my
pizza.
God. I never knew. That's crazy.
So you're learning new things.
I am. That's why we needed another look.
That's why we needed
exactly.
another look.
Yeah. Exactly.
But no, when he says, towards the beginning, we're going back, but mm-hmm. one of the other moments, yeah, he says, are you in Zeta to Shelly? And she's like, oh, no, I wish. And Natalie's like, no, but she's our new hizzity. Oh, wait, no. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm doing it wrong. He says, that's too bad, because if she was in Zeta would be my new favorite hizzity, Haim. And then Emma Stone says, well, she's not a Zeta, but she's our new hizzity house mother. And she'll be hizzy tizzy. She'll be here all the time. Because she realizes she should just shut up.
Yeah. It's a good gag.
I love it.
In a movie full of them. Mm-hmm. I think this will be a good time to walk our way out and enjoy mm-hmm. the conversation about what we love about the House Bunny. So I'm going to pass it over to Robin. Because you are our guest of honor.
Oh, my God.
I think you've pretty much answered this question, but do you believe that the House Bunny deserves another look?
Yes.
Really?
I would say yes. I think if you haven't watched it in a while or if you've never seen it, watch it. It's just a lovely movie with a lovely main character mm-hmm. who just wants the best for everyone, including you, listener. Also, it has a great soundtrack. We were talking about this earlier.
Mm-hmm. Like, it does,
the
yeah.
best... Avril most Lavigne. 2008 soundtrack. It features Metro Station, The Ting Tings, Ingrid Michaelson, Avril Lavigne, Yael Naim. So many bangers. Also, the lead singer of All American Rejects plays Emma Stone's love interest, Colby, which is just another mm-hmm. perfectly 2008
It's the most 2008
touch.
Thing in mm-hmm. the movie, which is pretty... It's saying a lot.
It is.
For a movie that really does speak its time yeah. period very well.
And it is.
Yeah,
it's
like the product placements with like the Sony camera mm-hmm. and the flip phone.
Yeah, the yeah. Razor, the Motorola.
Yeah.
And she plugs it in at the nursing
Motorola Razors. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, yes, I love it. And I'll just say one quote.
Send us out with a quote, yeah.
Elucidate on that.
There you go.
Damn.
What do you think? Do you think it deserves yeah. another look?
Corey?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you know, it was reminding me of Barbie. Yeah. And because 2008 was when The Dark Knight came out and Oppenheimer, you know, so it's like another Christopher Nolan movie alongside, like, a movie for women.
It's funny that Mamma Mia came out the same day as The Dark Knight because I feel like this would almost be a better fit... Mm-hmm. For, like, you know, the contrast. If we're talking Barbenheimer type standards.
Definitely, yeah.
But, I mean, Mamma Mia is also a classic, so.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, super funny, great, like, themes and stuff and, you know, representation and identity and all that. And, like, great performances. Happy Madison, basically, you can't go wrong. Thing I love about them, too, is just it's friends having fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and that translates a lot. And yeah, it's a really good flavor. Like, even if these movies are dumb or whatever, kind of, you know, they're still funny and fun. And this movie's not dumb by any means. The House Bunny's like smart.
Yeah.
But also, like, some of the jokes are just like, I don't know. It's just for fun.
Yeah, it's silly.
It's
good natured fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Anna Faris is great. It's a classic role.
It is.
Watch it for sure. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
You're next.
I don't have to echo. I can basically echo you two. Mm-hmm. It's really enjoyable. Certainly not like in my top tier of Happy Madison movies, but I think it's very distinctive in terms of what it achieves and how it does it. Like, it's definitely one where I think of it more often than I do, like, some of, I don't know, like, The Animal or something with Rob Schneider.
Right.
Or, like, the one with that Nick Schwartzen got where it's, like, Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these movies that kind of are just, like, they kind of came out and they just never caught on. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's important that I think this movie, I still see it talked about. So I'm hoping that it continues to carry on this second life.
And I'm still talking about
it deserves to be talked about.
I think if there's no one else on the planet Earth, you're still going to be talking about it, which is important.
I would say I probably quote a part of the House Bunny once a day.
Yeah.
I change what part. You know.
Yeah, it's not the same joke.
I literally started writing down just like my favorite quotes from the movie, and then at one point I realized I was just writing down every line.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have the hand agility to write that quickly.
Mm-hmm. There's also too many great lines in it. At a certain point you're gonna fall behind and you won't catch up.
I know. I had too much other stuff to write about. Mm-hmm. Like me kicking my feet and giggling about Colin Hanks.
This is a great episode. Great ending to season 2. Mm-hmm. Awesome to have our first special guest, Robin.
It was an honor. You. I can't believe it. Thank you.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you on here.
We've been planning this for a while.
Yeah, like, literally. And since we knew this was always the movie.
Yeah, this was going to be the finale of this season for months, and then we took months off. So
I didn't think it was gonna happen.
We were prepping. Yeah. We were prepping all for this film.
Yeah,
it's sometimes you need to hibernate for a little bit to get prepped for Natalie.
Well, I'm happy this could be your grand return.
Yeah.
And if you ever want to watch it again, just call me.
Sounds
because
good.
I have it on DVD.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Okay? I don't think it has a Blu-ray.
Yeah, I wonder.
Real quick. You know what I'm here for. I'm going to search.
Real quick.
I'm going to give them like a look into the life of Will. Mm-hmm. If Will's ever like looking at his phone in silence, he's on the Blu-ray.com forum.
It does.
It has a Blu-ray release.
It's only $9.99.
I'm literally buying that right after this.
You said though that the DVD encapsulates a certain aesthetic.
Well,
for
you
this
said
movie.
Should we watch it on DVD or should we stream it?
Yeah.
No, you're right. Different. There is that's a difference.
There's
there
a physicality
too.
To it that I need.
I will say.
I don't know if I want to see it on Blu-ray.
I will say that I grew up watching.
I bet it'll look great.
Maybe.
Oh, I'm sure.
The 4K.
It's Sony Pictures. They know what they're doing. But like when I watched Step Brothers a bunch growing up, and then I remember you gave me the 4K.
My parents gave me the 4K.
Yes, but you definitely gave them the idea to get me the 4K.
Yeah.
And I watched the 4K of Step Brothers, and I was like, this almost shouldn't look this good.
Yeah.
like I've seen too many of the pores on John C. Reilly's face.
For your pores.
Yeah, exactly. but everybody, thank you so much as always. On-air handshake.
Me too.
Try shake.
Oh my god, it's all three of us at once.
And thank you all for joining another look.
Whoa. Oh my god, I didn't know you were gonna do that. That was so scary.